What is God's idea for the role of a man? What is his plan? What is what he thinks? You know, our society has all kinds of ideas. In fact, most of the time, unfortunately, men get criticized, men get put down. So do women. But what is God's idea? What is a godly man to do and to be? And we're especially talking here about the marriage relationship. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to just look at probably the most extended discussion of that role in the New Testament. And we're going to continue on in the series that we've had. The series is entitled Living the Life. And really, we're picking up the idea here of the spiritual life. Today, it's going to be, we're talking about walking with God, the husband, and what the husband is to do. And we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 33. But before we go there, really, this all goes back to Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, talking about our calling in Christ. You, as a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ, have a specific calling. First of all, you are in Christ, chapter 1. Second, you are in His church. And then chapter 3, you will be in the heavenlies with Him. That is your calling as a believer in Christ. So as a result of that calling, your conduct then, that means the way we live our lives, the way we react, the way we believe, the way we treat others, our conduct needs to be based on our calling. And so basically, as we've looked at this whole section, chapters 4, 5, and 6, we saw the key to the spiritual life in chapter 4. And the key to the spiritual life is to put off things that do not honor God, and then to what? Put on things. So it's put off and put on. And that's kind of been the overview of chapters 4 and 5. And what Paul does in chapter 4 is he goes through and just talks to a number of groups. And in chapter 5. And he talks about in chapter 5, walking in light, walking in love, walking in wisdom. And he gives us those ideas. But then he stops and he takes some time to speak specifically to the Christian wife. And we looked at that last week. And we looked at the key part of a Christian wife's walk with God. And we came away with the idea, the word submission is in there. And we talked about this. What does that mean? And really what we came down to, if I could summarize last week's message, it's clearly this. Voluntary submission by the wife. That's what it comes down to. And we talked about, you're not going to force a wife to do this. You're not going to beat down a wife. You do that, see how good it goes. It's not going to go well. It comes down to a woman, a wife, voluntarily choosing to do that. So he addresses the wife for, I think, two verses, maybe three, and then he has to spend eight on men. Maybe there's a message there. I don't know. Yes, who said that? Anyway, that is kind of where we are going this morning. So we're going to look at the discussion of God's role for the man and his responsibility and his part and his walk with God. And so that's where we're at this morning. Next week, we're going to continue on, and we're going to be talking about for youth. Youth will be next week, beginning in chapter 6 for a couple of verses. And then employers. If you are an employer, he's going to speak to employers. And then finally, he's going to talk about putting all of this together in living the Christian life. And the last part of chapter 6, dealing with our armor. The whole chapter, part of that chapter, dealing with your spiritual warfare and your armor. And so that's where he's going in this book of Ephesians. All right, so today it's the men. Last week I had the privilege of speaking to the ladies. This week it's about us men as we talk about what God wants for us. Let me give you kind of a summary statement. Husbands, love your wife. Husbands, love your wife. And then what he's going to do in these eight or so verses is he's going to give two illustrations. Real simple outline. Husbands, love your wife. Then we're going to have two simple not simple to do, but simple to explain. Well, not even simple to explain, but simple statements of how, as men, we are to love our wives. And that's what's going on. So what I want to do then is I'm going to have us read these verses together. And I want you to go ahead and stand up with me. We don't do this very often. Go ahead, stand up. I'm going to read verses 25. We see this practice in the Old Testament, and it's likely that it carried through into the New Testament. We don't do this very often, but I'm going to read the whole passage this morning, and then you can be seated. So here we go. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife and as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So go ahead and be seated if you would. All right, I'm going to give you kind of the model here, and the model is given to us in verse 32, really. But the model here is Christ and the church. So on your outline, the model here that we're going to be talking about is Christ and the church. And so as we begin today, we're just looking at this analogy of Christ and the church. And you know what? I'm going to try and explain a little bit more of that in a few more verses. But Paul says it's a mystery, and it is. And so it's interesting, as I look to try and explain the relationship between Christ and the church, there's something unique about that, as there's something unique about the relationship between man and a woman. And so just kind of an interesting starting point. All right, let's go back to verse 25. It says this, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." Okay, so here we go. What I'm giving you here is the principle, first of all, and then you're going to have two little statements of application. Okay, the first statement it's in a box, I believe, is the husband is to love his wife. The husband is to love his wife. Now, when we talk about the word love here, what does that mean? How does that apply? And for men, it may mean something completely different than it can mean for a woman. But the husband is to love his wife. Okay, a second little thought on this is, continuing on in that box, this is an act of the will. Now listen, this is not like, I'm going to love my wife. Kind of a groaning, willful, that's not the idea here. But it is a choice that we make, gentlemen. It is a choice that we make to choose to love our wives, and to do that. The idea here, just a simple thought here, is to choose to do what is best for the other person would probably explain the idea as an act of the will. That you voluntarily choose as a man to do what is best for the other person. The other person in this example is the wife. And so that would be what that thought talks about. Second thought in that box is this is sacrificial love for her. This is sacrificial love for her. Why? What did Christ do? Christ put it all on the line. What did he do for the church? He sacrificed himself for the church. Now, who are the church? The church are people. He chose to do that. So this example, this analogy, gentlemen, is really an amazing thing and really is a difficult thing. Sacrificial love for her. Now, this is just the basic idea. A husband is to love his wife. It's an act of your will. You choose to do this. It is sacrificial love for her. All right. Now, next statement. How do we do this type of love? All right. So how do you do this? How do we show love for our parent, for our parents, for our wife? Wow, that was an interesting slip, huh? For our wife. There's going to be two statements now in the rest of these verses. Two major statements, and all I'm going to do is, I believe, in the next box. Yeah, I'm going to give you the statements. I'm going to take some time explaining each statement and what it means and how it applies. So how do we do this? All right? Husbands, I'm back at verse 27. Love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Verse 26, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without what? Stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Okay, so how do we do this type of love? Two ways. Okay, the first one is then, as Christ loved the church. And I'm going to park here for a while, Regina, just so you know, so I'll be here for a little bit. Okay, as Christ loved the church. Okay, so what did Christ do? What did he do for the church? He couldn't do anything more. He died. He sacrificed himself. He did the highest calling that anyone can do for anyone else. You can't do anything more than give your life for someone else. I'm reminded of the story of the founder of an organization called the Navigators. The Navigators is located in Colorado Springs, and my parents have been with them for many, many years. The founder of the Navigators is a guy named Dawson Trotman. And Dawson Trotman founded this organization, and the story, I don't know if you know the story of his death, but Dawson Trotman was in a small boat in New York on a lake. And on this boat, there was a girl that could not swim. Now, this was back in the 50s, so this was a while ago. And what happened, somehow, the little girl ended up falling in the water from some way or how, I'm not sure. Now, the thing is, Dawson Trotman did not know how to swim. But Dawson Trotman saw the little girl in the water. He dove into the water, and she was actually under the water, and he was able to grab onto her and could do enough to bring her back to the surface. Brought her back to the surface, and then in the boat they had to move over towards her, and they were able to grab her, because she was small, and lift her up and put her in the boat. So it took a little bit of time to do this. They then turned around, and Dawson Trotman was gone. He gave his life. He gave the most you could ever do. All right, last week I talked about the fact that a wife is to submit to her husband, and we talked about what that means and how do we do that to the extent. We talked about all those things. And I think that, and the key we came with, ladies, you got to choose to do this voluntarily. But let me tell you what, when we talk about the ladies and what they do, when you look at what Christ did for the church, a man has an incredibly high calling to sacrifice everything he has for his wife. Now, you may say, you don't know my wife. And I'll say, yeah, that's probably true. But I didn't write this. God did. And this is what he calls us to do as men. To sacrifice in the same way as Christ sacrificed for what? The church. He died for you and for me. He could do no more than that. So if you don't agree with this, your issue is not with Pastor Dave. Your issue is with the author of Scripture, the Holy Spirit. That's what it says. He cleansed us from our sin. He died. He cleansed us from our sin. He cleansed us by the gospel. That's the analogy he's making in verses 26 to present her as holy and pure Christ died, so we might be cleansed and set apart to Him. Gentlemen, this is an incredibly high calling. It's one that it's overwhelming. To be honest with you, it's overwhelming. What is written here? You are to love your wife, and you are to love her as Christ loved the church. And guys, the reality is we come up short. I don't want any ladies to say anything, don't we, guys? Yes, we do. We do. We come up short often. All right, let's keep going here. And to, verse 27, present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. The idea here, it's the image of a bride, that there's no spot on her dress. There's no wrinkle on her dress. And that's the picture of what the man is to do for the wife. Now, it's interesting. The last bride I saw was Caroline Baldwin. And she looked great that day. She did. She looked fantastic. And I couldn't help but just thinking, as she came down the aisle and everything, how good she looked. But that's the picture of what Christ has done with his sacrifice for the church. Gentlemen, we are to sacrifice in that way for our wives. Wow. All right. Now, what I'm going to do, let me read a quote. I had to look at a number of different people that I look at when I do passages. Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, so that he would cleanse it and set it apart to himself and present it to himself without spot or wrinkle. Jesus Christ gave himself to meet all my spiritual needs. This is the pattern or model of how a husband is to love his wife. Gave himself to meet all of my spiritual needs. All right, gentlemen, this is a tall order. You are to love her as Christ loved the church. Now, I'm going to get more specific as we keep going here, but in a sense, enough said about that. Let me say something. You cannot do this, gentlemen. I cannot do this without the Spirit's help. There is no way. As men, there's just no way without God's Spirit in us. So as we keep going here, we're going to be talking about the importance of the man having a relationship with God and a good relationship with God, so that his Spirit moves in us as Christian men to be able to do something like this. That is key. All right, so what I want to do, we can't do this. And so what I'd like to do is just stop the service for a minute and ask you to bow your head with me. Ladies, you can be a part of this, but gentlemen, I'm just talking to you this morning. This is a lifetime commitment, first of all, men. It's God's plan. But what I would like you to do is just talk to the Lord and just be honest with Him. And just say, God, this is very difficult for me to do. Tell Him that you cannot do this, man, without his help. Ask him to give you the strength to do this day in and day out. Lord, we do come before you as men and Christian men, not perfect, not pure, not holy. But yet, in our relationship with you, Heavenly Father, we are looked at, we are justified, we are declared righteous because of our choice of salvation in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for the men, including myself in this room, that we understand that we are to love our wives, and that this love is modeled after the relationship that you had for the church and everything you've done for the church. You sacrificed, you gave, you did the highest expression by giving your life. Lord, we need your strength and your power to do this. We cannot do that apart from you. So, Lord, I pray for every man in this room that we would be the example that you would want us to be. I pray that you would strengthen us that you would empower us through your Spirit to be able to chart a course of wanting to love those in our lives, our wives specifically, in a way that would model the way Christ did for the church. And Lord, we ask for your help, your Spirit, your power, your enabling to do this. Lord, I pray that you'll just guide and direct us as men as we continue to do this. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. When you really see what Christ did for the church, I mean, it's just, it is overwhelming what we are called to do. But yet, it's written, and so we want to try and do it by God's grace. Okay, the idea here then is to do what is best for her, to sacrifice for her, to give her your time, give her and find out her interests, to know what her spiritual needs are. Gentlemen, you have to be spiritual first in order to meet your wife's needs spiritually, and you and I are called to do that. So, gentlemen, we need to reevaluate our spiritual priorities. We need to make steps to be consistent with you, so that as we are consistent with you, I believe we're empowered by God's Spirit to be able to love our wives the way that Christ wants us to do that. All right. Let's continue now. Verse 28. Verse 28 says this: in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are all members of his body. Okay, so he continues in verses 28 through 30. No one hates his body. We may want to do things to improve our body, but this is the only body we got. No one hates their bodies. They love and they take care of their body. Okay, so, second part, Regina, is as Christ loved the church is the first one, and the second one now is as he loves his own body. As we love and take care of our own body, in the same way, we are to do that towards our wife. It's interesting. One of the things it talks about here is that he feeds and cares for it. And you see that in that verse. He feeds it and he cares for it. And the idea here of feeding it is to provide. And the basic idea of providing is for a home, clothes, and food. So when we talk about feeding, the idea here in the New Testament in this passage is to provide for the housing, clothing, and for food. Now when it says the cares for it, The idea here is the emotional tie. As we take care of our body, the way in which we are to treat our wives, we are to be tender and we are to be sensitive towards them. Tender and sensitive towards them, to feed and care. All right, as he loves his own body. All right, let's talk about getting ready to church, to go to church this morning. In our house, this is the first house we've had where we have two sinks side by side. We've had master bathrooms. We just have never had two sinks. And so I'm standing in front of one, and Ruth is standing in front of one as we get ready. By the way, I'm usually quicker to get ready than Ruth is. I'm just saying that. Be careful. I think most would agree with that. All right. So the thing is, all right, not at our house. Okay, everybody tell me what happens at your house now. No, but you know, as a man, I look in the mirror there and I say, wow, there's not quite as many hairs up here. I'm concerned about that. And I brush my teeth and I shave and I notice and, you know, do things like that. As a man takes time to prepare himself for the day, depending on what their job is or their work, you take care of yourself as a man. You are concerned for yourself. In the same way, that kind of care and concern needs to transfer towards the wife, that we have that same kind of care and concern for her. So in that regard, normally I eat food. I enjoy eating food, and so do you. And so I feed myself, and so I clothe myself. And the idea here is just, these are all things that a man does to, you know, take care of himself. In the same way that that thought, that thinking needs to be towards our wives. People are pointing fingers and elbows. But it is. I mean, it's just not that as you love your own body. When there's an ache or a pain, you go find out what's wrong, or you try to. You love and you care for your body. Gentlemen, as men, we take care of our body. We notice there's a few pounds here or there, and we say, well, we better do something about that. We choose to diet. Maybe we choose to exercise. We have care and concern for ourselves and our body. In the same way, Christ expects us to love our wives in that same way. It's actually fairly simple to say, but it's much more difficult to do. All right. Now what does he say? Now what he's going to do in verse 31 and 32 is going to take it to a whole other level here. Verse 31 and 32 are very difficult verses, and in fact, I can't explain them to you. Let's look at them together. Neither could Paul, though, so I don't feel bad. For this reason, all right, now we jump into an analogy. A man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh, obviously, in marriage. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. And so he makes this statement about a man and a woman, and then he says, but wait a minute, this is a mystery, and I'm not talking about that. I'm now talking about Christ and the church. So, let me share a couple of quotes with you. All right, there is some way that Christ and the church are one. There is some way that Christ and the church are one, just like a man and a woman are one. Paul says, I don't understand it. It is a mystery. Some way, Christ and the church are one, a man and a woman are one. And Paul says this is a mystery, and what he's in essence saying is, I don't understand it. And can I be honest with you? I don't understand it. I really don't. And in fact, it's interesting to research a number of men that I look at when I just try and figure out, okay, what does this passage say? And most of them are pretty honest on this and say, don't understand it. Don't know exactly what he's talking about. But there's some way Christ and the church are one, just like a man and a woman are one. This we do understand. A man is to love his wife, and he needs a model. The model is the way Jesus Christ loves the church. First, he died for the church. Second, he loves the church like his own body. The church and the Lord are one, just like a man and a woman are one. 1. It's a mystery. And I have studied this verse for years. And I really honestly don't know what it says. It's a mystery, but there is something about Christ and the church being one and a man and a woman being one, and that's the mystery. This is another one. Questions getting to heaven. Last week I told you about one of the questions. This would be a second question based on what he is talking about, this mystery. Verse 33. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Interesting. What a way to end this little section. A wife must respect her husband. And many believe, as I do, that when we talk about voluntary submission by the wife, one of the first steps or one of the first parts would be to choose to respect your husband. There is something innate within a man that respect is desired, respect is wanted. And to disrespect a man, it hits at the core of our being. And God knows that. And so when he talks about, it's interesting though how it's broken up here, because last week I was in verse 22, 23, and 24, and then it goes all the way down to verse 33 where it ties together with the thought that each of you must love his wife and the wife must respect her husband. Respect is a key part of that. It's interesting, and I have been a part of counseling sessions. When I was watching some of the training that I went through, I would see well-intentioned, good men, pastors, counseling, and hitting on verses 22, 23, and 24, but never saying anything about verse 33. Verse 33 is very important. Then they would go, and then they would go back to and deal with the verses we are today, beginning in verse 25. Okay, now, this can all be said very simply. Men, you're to love your wife. You're to do it in two ways, the way Christ loved the church and the way you love your own body. That is the model, that is the example that we are to follow and we are to do. And it's not easy. And you cannot do this without God's help. You talk about believers in marriage. For two believers that are walking with God, this is tough to do. It is. It is tough to do, and God's Spirit is working within them. Marriage is for adults. Marriage is for people that have matured to a point. And marriage is for believers. To do this, which is God's plan, you have to have two believers. And not only that, two believers that are committed to God in their walk. They have to be to do this. And what's the final ingredient? A ton of patience. A little forgiveness. And a lot of commitment. Welcome to marriage. Oh, goodness. Okay, last thing on your outline then. It says this, as husbands then, we must meet our wives. And there's going to be just three fill-ins here. The first one is their spiritual needs. Let me talk to you about this, gentlemen. We need to be spiritual ourselves in order to meet our wife's spiritual needs. Now, this is a tough thing to do. But gentlemen, this requires... And I am convinced that God is honored when we as men come forward and say, I want to be the best spiritual man I can be. If you become the best spiritual man, your wife will notice. She will notice. Spiritually then, gentlemen, this involves some of the spiritual disciplines. You need to be spending time with the Lord in prayer and in His Word. You need to be spending time with the Lord once a week in a church service. You need to be spending time with the Lord beyond that in some kind of a other group, either a Sunday school class or a small group, it doesn't matter. But learning and growing. And it's not a plateau thing, gentlemen, where we get to some point and we just stop. We got to keep going. We got to keep going up. Okay, so spiritually, and we have those opportunities here to help you. One of the commitments, gentlemen, is to one of these small groups that we have. and that there's sign-ups for in the back with the marriage and with the finances and what I'm doing on Wednesday night, to come and just be a part of that as men together and as women, welcome to, obviously, to these groups. But you've got to become more of the spiritual man in the relationship. That is a key part. Second thing, our wife's spiritual. Now, the emotional. The emotional, I talked about feed and caring, to be sensitive, to be understanding. There's also the side of being a spiritual. I'm convinced if a man does this, that if he grows in his walk with the Lord, I think really, ladies, as wives, pray that your men will grow in their walk with God. They do that, it will make a change in their life because God's Spirit will be more active in their life in encouraging them and helping them grow. Our wives, spiritual, emotional, and then finally is the word physical. Physical needs. And the physical needs have to do with clothing and housing and things like that. And once we do those things, gentlemen, it's tough to do in this day and age because we are in some pretty tough economic times. We are. But we need to meet those physical needs of providing for the basic needs of life. You know, this passage doesn't say a whole lot about sex. It just doesn't. But folks, let me tell you what. Inherent within this gentleman, you want a better sex life? Let me be honest with you. You do this and this, that will follow. It just will. A woman will be, she knows. Amen? All right, next week is youth. What does he say to youth? Beginning in chapter 6, verses, I think, about 1, 2, and 3. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you that we are given instructions. And that as men, we need to study our wives. We need to study the women in our relationship. Because even if they're not our wives, we still can serve them. We understand them. We grow in our walk with you. We help. And we guide and direct the relationship with our wives. Lord, thank you that we can look to you and that we need your help and we need your trust. We need your power and your strength. We just commit this to you. Thank you that we can give and we do that as part of our worship also. In Jesus' name, amen.